Welcome to another installment of This Is Not Normal on the Political Drain podcast with Drill Sergeant Doug, aka Admin Doug, a U.S. Army veteran, teacher, musician, and family man from Jamaica, now fights for justice and democracy through commentary and humor. Follow him on YouTube at Political Drain and at Sons of Liberty Official as Drill Sergeant, aka Admin Doug, continues to protect our freedoms.
I refuse to join a motorcycle club that would not recognize all ethnicities as for membership. So I turned to the Black Sabbath Motorcycle Club, which is my good friend Black Dragon on Black Dragon Biker TV. You know,
check them out.
This guy really helped me to understand by hanging out with these guys, partying with these guys, learning their stories. That even helped me more to understand what the black community was going through in this country. And we're not going to tolerate this shit anymore. And I'm telling you right now, people of my ethnicity, once they've gone through everybody else doing this, if you offer resistance, guess who they're going to come to? Maybe last. Probably will be last. But you know what? If you offer any resistance to the regime, and it gets on social media, they're going to come for you in the end.
What's up, YouTube? Drill Sergeant here. And today we have a special guest. And it's not the first time you're seeing him here. We're going to call him a regular now, friend of the show. Okay? We have someone running to represent Ohio in the 6th District. Running for, of course, Congress. That's the House. And I am honored to not just have somebody who cares about democracy, who goes out and fights, wants to be a Democrat, who goes out and fights, strongly worded letters. Okay? He's at the marches. He's at the capitals. And he's online right here. We have Lieutenant Colonel Malcolm Ritchie. What's going on, brother?
Man, it is so much fun to be with you, Drill Sergeant Doug. Doug, you're a valuable asset to this cause. And I've made tremendous strides in a short period of time in garnering support for running for the U.S. House of Representatives in the 6th District of Ohio, a heavily red district in Ohio. Of course, I've lived there 32 years, and I think I can get through to the citizens of our district. And with all of the atrocities of the forest fires going on, it's hard to keep up with it. But people are getting very nervous, even those people that voted for Donald Trump and for my opponent in Congress. People are getting very, very nervous about what is going on because they're finally waking up.
There are a lot of atrocities, and we're going to get to some of those today. On the other hand, before we get to the big stories, there's a vote on Tuesday. You guys got a vote going on Tuesday. What's happening? Give us the scoop.
Well, in our district in Ohio, the state level issues, there are four of them. The two most important, of course, in our district in Ohio is issue two.
Issue two, right.
It's a state infrastructure that allows the state of Ohio to do infrastructure building type of things like repaving roads, redoing bridges. You know, in my area in Tuscarawas County, there are no candidates on this.
Okay.
So to vote yes on the infrastructure bill because it's not going to increase anybody's taxes. And of course, you know, you don't want to hit those big potholes on the road. You don't want the bridges falling in.
Yeah.
It's just a pretty normal infrastructure bill. There's also a bill to support the Ohio Department of Education. And when you go to the your voting place and you pull that ballot, you want to vote yes for that issue that supports Ohio public education. And it's kind of a bill that is limiting the voucher program, which I'm completely against. So, you know, what's going on now with the Agenda 2025 in Ohio is that they are trying to push as many people towards accepting vouchers to go to private schools, then thus much money in the Ohio coffers will go to those private schools, and then public schools will suffer because they won't receive, you know, the money that they need for the public school system. So you have to be, you know, keep a close eye on that as you go to the ballot in Ohio and, you know, vote yes for the public school support. So that's what's on the, you know, the Ohio issues right now. And like I said, in my district, in my county, there's no candidates to vote for right now. That's not true in every county, though. Every county is different. There's a lot of local officials and county officials mm-hmm. that you vote for in various counties in the 6th district. And of course, you want to vote Democrat. You definitely want to vote Democrat. There's no other choice.
I mean, if you don't know that by now, guys, I'm not sure how else to show you. Like, there's another issue. It's in the state legislature. House Bill 6. House Bill 6 is trying to get rid of, in as well as they said it, get rid of certain fees on the electric bill to, I guess, for out-of-state electricity in an attempt to bring more electric companies or maybe more utility companies to the state. They're trying to get rid of the taxes, extra taxes. They're trying to make it sweet for people doing solar. And the main reason for this is because they see on the horizon the AI mega structures that take all the energy, all the resources, give it to computers to feed oligarchs and take it from the people who live in the state and actually could use it as a human being and not a computer. What's going on in Ohio with these AI structures? It seems like they're being built up. Is this, at least that's what it looks like from the research that I've done. Is that the case? Are we afraid of that? Is there an AI boom there? And how's that going to affect the energy that you guys will be using in their future?
Well, you know, just as Bernie Sanders said, this AI problem is going to be a problem for the working class people in the United States and in Ohio. And really, the only way to defeat this is to come up with a civil core, kind of like they came up with during the Depression. I think it was called the Civilian Conservation Corps or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to this that the petroleum industry does not want to hear, that we may be able to actually get the electric corporations on our side, that some people on both sides of the issue, especially our environmentalists, are kind of nervous about. But I'm just going to put it out there right now. The answer to this is a nationwide nuclear power plant rebuilding. We can replace all of our gas-fired power plants and all of our coal-fired power plants with nuclear power plants, which emits no greenhouse gases. There are issues and risks involved in utilizing nuclear power, but look, Europe has done this for many years. The other part of this process is that we can no longer rely on interstate highways, the combustion engine in our cars or the diesel engines in our trucks, to continue on into the future. We must do a massive project in the United States and, of course, in the state of Ohio to have a high-speed electric railroad system within the United States. We're way behind on the rest of the world.
You know how easy this would be? Unbelievable. I mean, so nuclear obviously has its issues because people are scared of the ramifications of a meltdown, a mess up. You never hear about nuclear going right, right? But you always hear about when there's a nuclear meltdown, because the risk is years in the future, depending on what happens in the meltdown, how much uranium is there, how much radiation is there, depending on what happens in a meltdown, it could be whatever area is gone could be gone for 100 years. You might not be able to do anything there practically, and the health of the people there for 100 years. So the person who just saw my video on the XL pipeline and how much oil is being spilt, tar sands oil, my issue isn't that, well, you know, if the pipeline works well, then it's just a climate change issue, although that is one. But the other one is the damage that can be done if it doesn't go well continues to hurt the farmland, the agricultural lands, the water, the drinking water in the area. So the person who just saw that video may say to themselves, why nuclear as opposed to other actually renewable energies? And what about the fallout of it? Does the risk not outweigh those benefits that you're talking about?
Well, yes. My answer to that is that so far, now there may be things in the future that come up through science and physics that can present us with a better energy alternative. And there's all kinds of conspiracy theories out there about that. But as far as I know of, it's proven that nuclear power right now is the best that we can do to get rid of the petroleum industry. Okay. So if you look all through Europe and all through Asia, they have very new electrical power grids that are energized by nuclear power plants. And how many incidents have you heard of in recent times with the new modern technology that we can use to control these systems and prevent risks of accidental release to the atmosphere of, you know, of any, you know, problems? Yes, we did have, you know, what occurred in Japan, but that was a complete natural disaster that nothing, you know, nothing could have prevented that. We had an earthquake and a tsunami.
Yeah.
But what's the worst nuclear accident we ever had in this country? It was a very small release in Pennsylvania, which, to my knowledge, no one has ever proved that there's been any long-lasting ramifications from the Three Mile Island nuclear accident. Mm-hmm. However, if you look at the chemical and the petroleum industry, there are hundreds on hundreds of environmental catastrophes that have occurred. And you pointed out one of them on a recent video.
28 of them in the past 10 years on that one pipeline.
Yeah. And yeah. I pointed out the recent accident a couple of years ago in East Palestine, Ohio, for the Norfolk Southern train that released all that vinyl chloride. Everything. And that's a petroleum product.
Yep.
So the more we rely on petroleum products, the deeper we immerse ourselves in basically being behind the rest of the world. And, you know, this could be a huge civil works project. Could you imagine, you know, creating an electrified railroad system throughout the United States of America, which would be the hugest project that this country has ever undertaken?
Mm-hmm.
You AI problem. You put people to work building this electrified railroad system that could serve both passenger and freight. Can you imagine kind of a project that would be? But of course, you know, we're going to fight the oil lobby on this because it would render the oil industries
obsolete. Obsolete. What we're fighting against is gigantic industries making too much money and being short-sighted like all rich people are. The dumbest people on earth. Like, I mean, it's hard to understand how you could get rich being so short-sighted, but it's not about that. It's when you're rich, your IQ level has to go down a certain amount to keep all of that, right? To get richer. Or else you'd realize, wait a minute, if I paid more taxes and paid my people more, my company would make more money in the long run. And then but because they see the number on a sheet that says, you pay this much this year, they go, no, I want less, right? They're the dumbest people. Money gives you low IQ points is the point. Am I right? That's your question. Does money give you low IQ points? Well, should we eat the rich?
Yeah, greed gives you low IQ points, but you know, we can manipulate these companies because you know what? We can put the power companies, the independent power companies in this country, we can put them in direct competition with the oil and gas industry because we can go out there and say, hey, we're going to institute this massive nationwide project mm-hmm. that is going to make things much better for the people of this country. It's going to have a much better effect on climate change. It's better all the way around that we make this investment and we align ourselves with the public and private utilities of this country to make this happen. I mean, this is a win-win for everybody except the oil and gas industry, and it's going to be a battle. But if we can get the public and private utilities on the side of this type of concept, I think that battle can be won, and we have to win it.
We have to
win that battle.
We have to. There is no choice. We're without one, yeah.
Yeah, you can keep your gas car and, you know, run it around with your historical plates on it. This is the future. But if we have this electric, newly rebuilt electric power grid in this country, we can have this high-speed freight and passenger railroad system, and we can also have the ability to have electric cars and be able to sustain, we have a grid that can sustain the charging of electric cars during trips for people that own their electric cars. And also, you know, the technology is going to get better for these batteries in electric cars. The mileage is going to increase as competition goes on within the auto industries worldwide, and which brings another point. We are in a worldwide economy, and what this president and the Republican Party is doing is trying to deny a reality of 2025. We're in a world economic system where the United States is no longer the supreme authority to tell the entire world what to, because the rest of the world right now is already telling us to F off, okay?
Yeah.
You can see it, what's going on. If we do not participate democracy in the world economy, the rest of the world is going to turn against us and we are going to become a third world nation with a broken infrastructure, and much like Cuba is now. What do you see in Cuba? 1960s cars and stuff running around the streets of Cuba?
Great
That's
point.
What the United States is going to Don't get our shit together and realize that we have to advance into the modern age, keep up with the rest of the world, acknowledge that China is a competitor, but not an enemy. And we do not need to go to war with the entire damn world to enable to have a prosperous country.
Believe it or not, I believe that most people 20 years ago knew that instinctively because most people 30 years ago knew that instinctively. Because we were close enough to watching it almost happen with the Cold War, right? We were close enough to the backlash of the Vietnam War that defined an entire generation, right? We were close enough to these things. But a dictator absolutely needs to build consensus and consent, and the best way to do that is around quote-unquote patriotism, starting wars. Once your sons and daughters are dying, you no longer have the type of overview of reality that you should have, the outside view. Because once your son and daughter's dying, you're mad, you're angry, and you're pro-patriot. We gotta go get those guys, right? So I believe that he knows, and I've said this before on Sons of Liberty, people, he's trying to build consent, whether it's Mexico, Greenland, Canada, it doesn't matter where. He just knows that as the policies continue to only make five people on Earth rich and everyone else poor, the only way to keep you eating that red meat and being okay with poverty is this patriotism, this forever war this all, everyone against us feeling. It's manufactured consent. It's as old as dictatorship itself. And I believe that's exactly what it's going for. I love that point. What I don't understand is why we haven't already had electric trains, not electric trains, but high speed rails, because it was dang near under construction. I mean, when Obama got there, I remember it was being touted and pronounced and asked, can we do this? Hey, let's look into it. Here we are, what, 20 something years later. Every other country has found a way to get something like that done. And we have gone backwards. It's absolutely disgusting. But you said something about atrocities. I want to get to morality, confidence, decency, the building of trust. Because as you're watching right now, the Constitution is is a freaking piece of paper. All it takes is one maniac to say, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to go with it. I'm not going to follow the rules. And if he gets away with it, democracy is done. So I want to pivot to these atrocities. But where we're allowed, our people 20 years ago weren't different people. But what they have been is injected with this poison of the right-wing media, of constant gaslighting, of constant dehumanization, and an entire half of our country has become unrecognizable, and it's not just their fault. I need to remember to say that. It's not just their fault.
We'll be right back with our candidate for Ohio 6th District, Lieutenant Colonel Malcolm Ritchie, right after these words from Herb Digital on our Twitch channel.
What up, Twitch?
What up, Twitch?
What up, Twitch? It's your boy, Herb Digital.
Herb Digital.
Herb Digital. Hopped out the Bionic 5, now I'm on iRacing Live.
When I'm not dunking on incels or smacking racists, I like to settle down with a little music.
If you want to catch me racing, oh, nobody can catch me racing. But if you want to see me racing, follow me. twitch.tv/politicaldraindigital.
Knowledge is power.
So my old man's got a problem. Lives by the bottom, that's the way it is.
And last but most importantly, practice your Second Amendment rights and learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones. Shit is getting real spooky out there. And your boy Herb Digital for them games. Herb Digital out.
So my old man's got a problem. Lives by the bottle, that's the way it is. Said his body's too old for working. Said his body's too young to look like his.
But there was a story that you wanted to talk about cops. Now, black folks have always been dehumanized. It was getting better. These people have now had, these people meaning our literal government, the people the MAGA voted for, those degregates, that bastion of evil, has now turned enough people to their side that this can happen every day while they smile. And I'll let you take the lead on it after we watch this, Malcolm. It's an unbelievable story.
A canine cop kills an innocent man for a false burglary call, and the police, well, they think it's funny. Put it in a full mask. Hell of a thing. I'm taking you to Alabama. The family of Mr. Joseph Lee Petaway has filed an appeal stemming from an incident where police allowed a police dog to attack and kill Mr. Joseph Lee Petaway.
Can you hear this?
He committed no crime. Mr. Petaway, 51, died from a torn femoral artery. That's according to his attorney, Griffin Sykes Jr.
There's more. The incident took place during the early hours of July 8th, 2018, after Montgomery police received a call from a man named Gary Dixon. Mr. Dixon reported an intruder inside of his home, not realizing it was his friend and his co-worker, Mr. Petaway. Petaway and the man, along with another man named James Jones, had been hired to repair a dilapidated house that had been vacant for some time. So they were installing new floor. You got sheetrock. On July 7th, the men spent the entire day working on the house, then had a backyard barbecue that evening. After the get-together, Mr. Petaway and Mr. Jones left the home while Mr. Dixon decided to spend the night. At around 3 a.m. the following morning, Hedaway returned to the home, knocked before entering the home, rousing Mr. Dixon from his sleep, who believed it was an intruder because he was not expecting Mr. Hedaway to the makings of a misunderstanding. At this point, there's more. Dixon left the home, called the police. So he runs out. He calls the police. Five officers arrive, including Nicholas D. Barber, who arrived with a canine. The officers surrounded the house, but made no attempt to communicate with anybody inside. This is according to the written appeal.
I know it's taking a while, but
Nicholas D. Barber.
All of this is important.
And allowed his police dog inside the home. Once again, no communication has been made. The police dog found Mr. Pettaway underneath a bed and bit into his thigh, refusing to let go. Quote, the dog found Mr. Pettaway under bed at 3:15 a.m. and attacked him with its teeth, the appeal states. Quote, the dog locked its teeth into Mr. Pettaway's left thigh or crotch, where his legs meet his torso. As the dog tenaciously held its bite for almost 2 minutes, the dog shook its head, driving its teeth deeper into Mr. Pettaway and rupturing his femoral artery. But there's more. By the time Mr. Barber pulled the dog away, Mr. Pettaway was already unconscious. The cops then dragged the bloodied black man outside of the house, left him on the sidewalk, where they stood around mocking him. Quote, 4 to 5 police officers are standing directly over Mr. Pettaway's unconscious body, illuminating him lying on the sidewalk with their flashlights while his blood pools underneath him, Sykes Jr. said in the email interview with Atlanta Black Star. Quote, while standing there, the cops can be heard joking and laughing. Now, one states, I guess he's okay, to which another cop replies, well, okay is a relative term. He's still breathing. After which there is laughter.
Now, before I go in too hard, the fact that you brought this to me lets me know that you too have the type of a heart that I want to see in Congress. Do something about this. Talk about this. Do not mince words.
All right, let's look at it. They started with the undocumented immigrants. Look what they're doing to them, sending them to concentration camps, no due process of law whatsoever. Okay? Mm-hmm. There's always been police brutality in this country against the black community. But in 2025, for this to still be happening, I tell you, incomprehensible. And it takes everything within my being, for example, to say going into June 6th in Washington, D.C., for us to still have peaceful protests. This is just so inhumane by this police department and what they did. You know, I served 32 years in the military, and I can tell you that every conceivable, I'm not going to talk about race anymore. This just pisses me off, too. We're not talking about race. There is no fucking races in the United States. There's fucking human beings. Let's start talking about ethnicity. Ethnicity has had problems in this world for 10,000 years. This is an ethnicity problem. Mm-hmm. Let's stop talking about race. We're all human beings.
100%.
You know, I served in the military with every conceivable ethnicity. I've had commanders that were of, quote, ethnicities other than white people that I respected.
Mm-hmm.
They had my back. My officers had my back. My generals had my back. My NCOs had my back. I can't tell you how many times my life was saved by every conceivable, quote, ethnicity in the United States military. This just enrages me to no end. You know, one of my best friends that I met on a motorcycle set, and you know, we've talked about this, into the motorcycle life, motorcycle set. I refused to join a motorcycle club that would not recognize all ethnicities as for membership. So I turned to the Black Sabbath Motorcycle Club, which is my good friend, Black Dragon, on Black Dragon Biker TV. You know,
check them out.
This guy really helped me to understand by hanging out with these guys, partying with these guys, learning their stories. That even helped me more to understand what the black community was going through in this country. And we're not going to tolerate this shit anymore. And even in my community, that would have never been done by police. The police officers that I know in my community would have went in, found out what the situation, what the hell was going on. They wouldn't have, like, released a dog just to go in and start biting people. You know, this is just beyond comprehension, what happened here. You know, and this current administration and the Republican Party wants to make this commonplace in this country. And believe, and I'm telling you right now, people of my ethnicity, if they've gone through everybody else doing this, if you offer resistance, guess who they're going to come to? Maybe last. Probably will be last. But you know what? If you offer any resistance to the regime and it gets on social media, they're going to come for you in the end. That's what I hope to stop by being elected to Congress. We've got to turn this around, folks. This is a four-alarm fire. And a lot of Democratic parties in the counties still don't get this yet.
How are you going to go in there and impress upon them that we won't be here? That the people who are being sent to concentration camps is not in the future, it's now. It's now. How can we impress upon them that children are dying in Texas because of ridiculous laws of the 1700 now? How do we impress upon them the nature of the problem and have them out in the field? Have them, well, I don't see them on where I see Bernie and AOC. Come outside. Do something. Show something. Give the permission structure that people need to have the boycott that can actually work. I don't know. I'm on a rant. Help me out here. Help me out here, Malcolm. What am I missing? How do we do this?
Obviously, now public protest in the extreme, civil disobedience, showing up. I cannot impress upon veterans and all citizens and members of Congress, members of state legislatures, and of course these are going to be Democrats. You got to come to Washington, D.C. on June 6th for this protest. You know, and I give every man, I love you. I love Big Sarge. I love Cliff Cash and Jessica Dennison and all the people that are putting this stuff together. You know, our first protest I went to was fantastic. We had over 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. We need a million people out there on June 6th. The anniversary of June 6th of 1944, when we smashed fascism, we smashed the Nazis. Mm-hmm. We need right now to give us some breathing space. The new candidates in the Democratic Party, give us some breathing space so that there'll be a 2026 election. The only way we could do that is to take to the streets. We need simple disobedience. We don't need violence. You know, if you look at Smedley Butler, General Smedley Butler, two-time Medal of Honor winner in the Marine Corps, who wrote the very famous forward-looking book, War is a Racket. Mm. When he, in the late 1920s, he helped the bonus movement of World War I veterans who were promised bonuses, kind of like a pension.
Yeah.
They didn't have no disability back then. They didn't have no military retirement.
Mm-hmm.
They were promised bonus by this government for going to fight in World War I, and they were denied that bonus until Franklin Roosevelt became president. But you know what? They organized. They went to Washington, D.C. General Smedley Butler spoke up for them, and he told them, do not make this a violent revolution, because you will not win this battle.
Right.
This, you have sympathy. You have the support of the American people against President Herbert Hoover. And what happened? Because of what the actions that Hoover did in breaking up that movement to get the DeBonis Army and Smedley Butler put forward to us as an example to us for future generations by becoming nonviolent protest, by not inciting a revolution against the U.S. government. They eventually got everything they wanted. Mm. You got to get out there when it's raining and thunderstorming, when it's cold. Mm-hmm. You got to protest every weekend. County courthouses, state capitals, Washington, D.C. It's got to happen. It's the only way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So well said. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to leave that there because D-Day, June 6th, you're going to want to be there, guys. Black folks, you have put on a concerted effort to withhold your protest to ensure that the people who are protesting mean what they're saying, and you're tired of being looked over. I understand. Fine. That's fine. That's fine. What I need you to do is make sure that you are supporting Democrats in every city. What I need you to do, black folks, what we got to do, I have no problem with you withholding your protest if you're staying home, but make sure that you're pressing like and subscribing, not just on here, but also on Tyler Cohen, also on every channel that you can. You know why? Because while they're out there protesting, the media will not cover it. So if they prove to us that they care enough to have us come back in and win it again, then that also means that we have to make sure that they're covering it so we know that we're making the right decision. That's just for black folks. And I say it outwardly in front of everybody because I don't think I'm wrong. I stand on justice in that one. I understand what you're talking about, the black community. If you're going to stay home for these protests, just make sure you're watching it. You're pressing the like. You're pressing subscribe. You're sharing it. Because along with a new realization that the people who get treated the worst can't always be the people who are out there in the front to get beat up and bitten by dogs, to get shot by Rittenhouse. We can't always be there in the front. We know that now. That's fine. But we have to also tie that with a new media that's going to follow it. That's going to follow it. Lieutenant Colonel Malcolm Ritchie running for 6th District in Ohio. I'll give you the final word, and I want to leave it just at that about the protest, and I'm done. I really appreciate you bringing that back up June 6th, and please tell the people where they can find you and how to donate and how to help you win this red district.
Thank you very much, Sergeant Doug. And you can find me very easily, Malcolm, M-A-L-C-O-L-M, Ritchie, R-I-T-C-H-I-E, for Congress on Facebook. Search Facebook, you plug into that. Also mail me paper checks to my address, but I would rather, you know, you come to Ritchie for Congress, send me a message, and I'll give you my address to send it to rather than sending it, putting on this right now. But I want to say, I got to put out there, this is not hyperbole. This is not bullshit. You know, I will myself lay myself on the line for the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I can no longer tolerate all of these atrocities that are going on, including the new executive order, which basically says, Trump saying police can arrest any of us for any reason that they conjure up in their damn minds without even reasonable suspicion, probable cause, or an arrest warrant issued by a judge. And they're testing the waters, buds, folks. They're testing the waters.
And it's just fine. They're testing it, and it's lukewarm with the perfect pH. They're jumping in. It's just fine. Nothing has been able to stop them. It's our turn. You know what?
Well, I will put my life on the line for all of you. This is no BS, because I'm going on June 6th.
You were there?
And if things get rough, I'm going to be right up there in the front. I'm going to sit down on the ground and lock arms with people. And if they take me to jail, and just like I said before, if they take my military pension away from me, so be it. If they take my railroad retirement away from me, so be it. This is a fight for the survival of this country. And I'm 100% in. And I will support everyone in any way I can.
Statements like that ensure that Political Drain and all affiliates, we endorse Lieutenant Colonel Malcolm Ritchie. And I'm going to leave it right there. There's nothing, nowhere better to end than that. Sir, thank you so much. And I won't call you sir again, but I say that to everybody before I leave. Educate yourself. Educate others. Come back for more.
Hey. Yeah, you. Before you click away to watch someone unbox a tactical toothbrush, let's talk about something real. Political Drain isn't just another content mill. We're a digital front in a very real war. Not with bullets, but with ideas, with action, and with solidarity. We pair urgent news with critical education. And we build community around actual resistance, not the hashtag kind. The kind that moves. But here's the thing. None of this is free. It isn't. Behind every video is time, labor, research, and some weird guy asking if we're gonna pay the hosting bill. And yeah, some of that money goes to things we can't necessarily say out loud. If you know, you know. Let's just say our special ops aren't Call of Duty LARPers. They're people making real moves to protect, uplift, and organize. You're not just funding a channel. You're funding a resistance network in a world where capital still calls the shots. Unfortunately, in a system built on artificial scarcity, even mutual aid has a price tag. And if we want to grow, if we want to win, we need your help. We need your help. So if you've got even a few bucks to spare, toss it our way. It's not for ads. It's not for merch drops. But for people making moves in the shadows so others can do it in the light. It's just us and you. So fund the mission. Fund the fight. Fund the future. Because nobody's coming to save us. We save each other. That's how this works.
Follow us on all these things you see here, and our link tree is in the description. Maybe even get some merch.
That was the Political Drain podcast, which can be heard on groovechillradio.com/political-drain and can be viewed on the Political Drain YouTube channel anytime. Once again, thank you for listening to Groove Chill as we resist fascism in any form, pursue democracy, peace, and love.